Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 6th of November. And our top story today is that a dog is set to be put down after biting a woman in a Medway park. Well, Finn joins me now with more on this story. Thanks ever so much for being on the podcast, Finn. Can you tell me when this happened?
Yes, so Kim Garton was walking her own dog in Gillingham Park in April 2022 when she went to stroke the American Akita called Boris, but the pet bit her hand. It left a large wound which needed hospital treatment and took 6 weeks to heal. In fact, she's told Kent Online she lost the feeling in her left hand following the attack, and it's only just started to return 2 years later. She's also been left with a scar from her knuckles all the way to her wrist.
Sounds nasty, and Boris's owner has appeared in court.
That's right. Sawam Singh was charged with being a person in charge of a dog dangerously out of control, causing injury. He denied the offence, but the 49-year-old from Larkfield Avenue was found guilty following a trial earlier this year. He's now been back at court to hear what'll happen to his pet, who's been kept in police kennels since the attack. Despite an expert deeming the dog not to be a danger to the public, the chairman of the bench ordered the animal to be destroyed. Mr. Singh has been placed on a community order, has been ordered to pay compensation and cover as much of the £20,000 kennel costs as possible. He's been banned as well from keeping a dog for 18 months.
And how is Mrs. Garton now?
Well, the 67-year-old received support following the attack, but she says it's affected her mental health. According to her, she can no longer go up to other dogs she doesn't know and has just described the whole thing as traumatising.
Finn, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a sexual predator from Medway who targeted underage victims on social media has been sent to prison. The 62-year-old was caught during an undercover operation by police and was later found guilty of grooming three young girls. He's been locked up for 3 years. 18 people have faced trial in France, accused of being part of people smuggling operations. They're said to be responsible for more than 10,000 small boat crossings to the UK. They've all been sent to prison for between 1 and 15 years. Police have been seen removing a suspected cannabis farm from a house in Maidstone. Officers were outside a property on the High Street yesterday, close to the British Heart Foundation store. Witnesses say it looked like a major drug bust right in the town centre. Now, an emergency service instructor from Kent has been telling the podcast how he spent 3 days digging for survivors after a huge landslide wiped out a village in Bosnia. Chris Kendall and his team were there to deliver training when the landslide happened in October. Sadly, Chris and his team were unable to find any survivors, and in total, 19 people were killed. He's described that time.
We were at the 2nd Helicopter Squadron military base just on the outskirts of Sarajevo. The night before, there was such heavy rain, some of the heaviest rain I'd ever experienced. Thought nothing of it. And as we started training at 9 o'clock in the morning, one of the Bosnians that we were delivering training to broke down in floods of tears. Didn't understand why, so sent someone over to speak to him. And he came back showing us images and videos from where his parents were live. A little village about 60 miles away, I guess, 45, 60 miles away, called Lebanitsa. And at this moment in time, he didn't even know if his parents were still alive. What had occurred were, from the heavy downpours of rain, was a massive landslide with boulders twice the size of cars destroying a village. At the moment in time, there was an unknown number of people missing, an unknown number of dead. And straight away, I turned to the assistant defence attaché and just said, we've got people here that can help you in country, send us. And that started the discussion. And an hour or so later, we were deployed to the town or to the village to help with the rescue effort.
Wow, that sounds incredible. What sort of things were you doing once you got there?
It was really unusual for us. You know, I decided to take the three members of the team who had a rescue background. So there was me, Stu from Avon Fire Rescue, and Mark from London Ambulance. When we arrived, we did what we would typically do. We would report to the officer in charge, offered our assistance. They're worlds apart from what we do in terms of disaster response. So we offered our services, we explained what we were qualified in and trained to do. We identified areas of high probability for survival, and we went and started digging, but we didn't have the kit and equipment or any support that we were used to having. So we would find a collapsed building, crawl through voids, speak to the local neighbours via an interpreter and try and identify if there were people missing from that property. And then we just spent hours and hours digging. And we did that for 2.5-3 days.
Did you find survivors?
No survivors.
Were there any survivors from the landslide?
So the landslide happened at about 3 o'clock in the morning. But due to their infrastructure, communications were down. Where the village was, it was on the outskirts of the actual town called Lebanitsa. It's a kind of a little outcrying village, still under Lebanitsa. So the information only came to us at about 9. So between that gap of 3 in the morning where it took place and 9, they did manage to find some survivors. There was actually some really wonderful stories of heroism from the local Bosnians, which resulted in those heroes being sadly killed. But, you know, there were Bosnians that managed to save upwards of 9-10 people before they went back one final time. And that time was too late, unfortunately. So there were survivors, but just none by the time we arrived on the Friday. And I don't believe there were any after we left on the Sunday afternoon.
Kent Online reports.
Families have complained about getting stuck in traffic for a firework display in Broadstairs. People were invited to arrive at Viking Bay from 5 yesterday evening, but many didn't make it because of road closures and rush hour queues. The organisers have been approached for a comment. The Kent Online podcast has exclusively heard that a Folkestone Asylum Centre's closure date is still up in the air. The Napier Barracks has been criticised for poor living conditions, and the original plan was to vacate the building in March 2025 to make way for much needed housing. But the new Labour government haven't yet made a decision on when the centre will shut down. There are calls for a Kent town to get a banking hub after being left without a physical branch for 2 years. Swanley is served by a Barclays van that visits once a week but can only offer advice. There are also cash machines at an Asda. Well, a decision on whether the area can qualify for a hub is expected to be made next month. There's anger at a decision to scrap a degree in English Literature at a university in Kent. The course will no longer run at Canterbury Christchurch after bosses noticed what they describe as a significant decline in the number of students choosing it. Well, I've been speaking to Freya Hodge, who's a second year student doing a BA in English Lit and History.
I did not see it coming because I understand that the humanities are often being cut and stuff, but I thought I must have heard wrong or there was some mix up. And then I was very quickly very incensed and angry, to be honest, because that's my subject. And they're just taking it away.
Obviously, it's a subject you're very passionate about because you've decided to study it at degree level. Does this affect you at all and the course that you're doing?
What the university's doing is a teach out, which means that the first years who've joined this year, they will be allowed to get to the end of their degree. And then once they leave the university, then the course will be finished. So it's no longer open to accept new students. So theoretically, it shouldn't affect us. However, I would argue that it does affect us in the sense that our module choices may be restricted because they'll be getting ready to close our course. There's also sort of the emotional factor of our lecturers, because they're going to have a bit of turbulence. They won't know whether they're staying or they're going. And also from our point of view, the communication that we received wasn't very good. So I'm still not entirely sure I necessarily trust what I'm being told, which then makes me feel a bit wobbly. And it's like, if you've got that on your mind, you might not necessarily be concentrating to the full extent that you could be in your work.
Are you a bit concerned that perhaps some of your tutors and lecturers could leave before the end of your course as well?
Yeah, this is quite a big concern of me and my peers, because obviously, being at university, we want to try and have the best that we've got to offer. But we also understand that for the lecturers, this is their job. So if I was in their position, I would probably be thinking, you know, should I look for another job or something like that? So we do not begrudge it at all, because we completely sympathise with their situation. However, from our point of view, this does create a sense of uncertainty, because we've we signed up thinking we were going to have this bulk of lecturers and they might not be there for the whole time.
Obviously, Canterbury Christchurch are not the first university to have to cut a course. We've seen about the protests at nearby University of Kent as well. We've had a statement from the uni and they just say there's fewer and fewer students deciding to study English literature and it's simply not viable anymore. Does it surprise you that it's not a popular subject to do at degree level?
It does, to be honest, because I think it was in 2012, I think English was the most popular A-level in the UK. And so to suddenly get to where we are now, where these universities are just dropping it, I think largely the problem is that we need to change how it's taught from school level, because the books that you study while you're in school just aren't the kind of books that are going to get students to want to take it further on unless you're a complete English nerd, because it's so Shakespeare heavy and it's just not moving with the times. And I do also think that as much as I'm surprised that it isn't very popular, part of me is also quietly not unsurprised, because the focus on STEM is very difficult to ignore. For example, when I was at school, you had a STEM day. You would never have an English or arts and humanities day. There is so much focus on STEM, the sciences, the technologies, which we do need. But I believe we need a balance, not one or the other.
A historic city as Canterbury is full of literary history. I mean, it seems a bit ironic, doesn't it, I suppose, that this degree is being cut from this uni?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly sad and disappointing, because when you think of sort of the authors who we have here that make the heritage of Canterbury, you've got the likes of Chaucer and Aphra Behn, and now it's almost as if it's stopped and their legacy is no longer being able to continue into our current climate, which I just don't think it's acceptable.
In a statement, Canterbury Christchurch tell us they constantly evaluate the subjects they offer to ensure they're meeting the needs of future students and employers. They go on to say the English literature course is no longer viable in the current climate, and they end by telling us they're sorry to say the decision has been taken to stop offering it to new students. Staying with education news, and the government has given the green light for 3 Medway schools to become co-educational. Chatham Grammar, Fort Pitt Grammar and Holcombe Grammar will begin admitting boys and girls from September 2026. It's hoped the move will mean more children from the towns will be offered a place at a local selective school.
Kent Online reports.
Now, a document seen by Kent Online has revealed more than 2,000 buildings in Whitstable could be destroyed by flooding if more defences aren't built. Canterbury City Council papers say because of climate change, floods could become more severe over the next century. Engineers suggest the sea walls could be raised and old defences replaced to cope with more extreme weather. 2 shoppers who were dressed up for Halloween have been kicked out of Blue Water for not being suitably dressed. Comedy actors Chris Cole and Paul Fox say they were escorted off the premises after turning up dressed as a devil and a vampire. Well, here's the moment they were told to leave by security.
I've asked you to leave
because
of your outfit. My control room have deemed it not really suitable.
Oh, well, the police said it was fine.
The police are coming up to speak to you.
So, it's not suitable for what?
Because it's a family shopping centre. Uh-huh. My bosses have said it's not suitable for here. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. They've asked me to ask you to leave.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
We sell you.
It's Halloween. Well, what's the problem then?
Okay.
Can you not see a problem here? It's Halloween.
I can see a problem.
It's Halloween.
No, I know it's Halloween.
But it's not. We're not appropriately dressed on Halloween.
I'd be sorry. Shall we go?
Yeah. And you're going to need a few more.
No worries.
Bosses at the shopping centre say the pair were causing concern for other shoppers and their behaviour was not in line with its code of conduct for guests. You can see pictures of what they look like in costume by heading to the website.
Kent Online News.
There's been another delay to plans for a Lidl on Sheppey following a second legal challenge by another supermarket. Planning permission for the store in Queenborough has been overturned after Aldi took it to the courts. It means the application will now go back to Swale Council, who've also been told they have to pay court costs. costs. Controversial plans to regenerate part of Chatham Docks have been officially approved. Developers want to turn an industrial estate into a business hub, but there are concerns about the loss of warehouse space. The new Labour government decided not to call in the application, so it's been given the go-ahead by Medway Council. It's emerged that all of the companies wanting to buy a Kent Leisure Centre plan to reopen it. Folkestone Sports Centre, as you may have heard on previous episodes of the podcast, closed suddenly in the summer after the trust running it said they could simply no longer afford to do so. Well, administrators now say a final decision on who'll take it on is very close. Tony Vaughan is the local MP and he's been speaking to our sister channel KMTV.
What I would like to see is the administrators accept a leisure-led bid. So that means a bid from a leisure operator who knows how to operate leisure facilities rather than a kind of property developer-led bid where a property developer has expressed an intention to open the sports centre again, but without any kind of concrete plan to do so. Every kind of avenue of pressure is needed. I don't know all about the inner workings of where they are. I just hope that the fact that they have a load of bidders who say they want to reopen the centre, plus the fact that Folkestone and Lies District Council has accepted our application to designate the site an asset of community value, as well as the issue of the covenants, will make them take the right, or help persuade them to take the right decision, as I think they want to. This was a decision that just came completely out of the blue, and people just weren't prepared for the decision that was taken, and so, you know, there's been a lot of people completely at sea and not knowing what to do next. I know that help was put on to help people apply for new jobs, to find new opportunities going forward. You know, what happens to those jobs ultimately will be down to whoever operates the centre, if it again is reopened as a sports centre. But, you know, as we know, the administrators have said we are not making any promises, and so, you know, we've gone from a situation where the centre was completely closed to there being a kind of chink of light. And I would sincerely hope that as many of those jobs as possible would be maintained.
More than 8,000 people signed a petition calling for the site to be saved.
Kent Online reports.
Kent pensioners who just miss out on the winter fuel payment are being offered £1 million worth of help. Kent County Council will set aside the money in the coming months to help the most vulnerable across the county. More detail on how the scheme will work are expected to be announced soon. A Kent boy who had both his legs amputated as a baby has met the Health Secretary at the House of Lords. Tony Hodgell and his adoptive parents are highlighting the challenges with receiving good quality prosthetics on the NHS. The meeting with Wes Streeting was organised by former South Thanet MP Craig McKinley, who lost both hands and feet to sepsis. Now, there are concerns in Medway that an increase in how much companies can charge for bus fares will put more of us off using them. The government confirmed in last week's budget the price cap can increase by 50% from £2 to £3. But it's feared that could significantly affect those struggling during the cost of living crisis. They've written to the town's MPs asking for the decision to be reversed. Kate's been speaking to Jeremy Spybee-Steenston, who's co-chair of the Medway Greens.
We didn't expect that one of the measures that would be taken would be to increase the bus fare cap. It's been really quite beneficial, I think, to the country when the cap was introduced at £2. It's enabled more people to use buses. I think studies have shown that it's increased bus use as well. And the cost of living crisis, which has been going on for a number of years now, it only worsens it for those that are most affected. And, you know, although 50% increase from £2 to £3 may seem like not a lot to most people, it really affects those who struggle to make money month to month and to use the buses. So we were underwhelmed and we were surprised at the decision, hence why we wrote a letter to our MPs in Medway.
What did you say to the MPs?
We outlined some of the considerations that should be made regarding increasing bus fare caps, and we outlined some of the benefits that it's brought. So, for example, it's increased bus use since it was implemented in January 2023. And as well, at a time, and this was included in our letter, we make it quite clear that in also a climate crisis is happening, and we've seen the scenes in Valencia in Spain, and you know, we can't expect that these will just be isolated and may, you know, never reach our shores. And you know, buses are much, although you know, people may not use buses very often, those that do and the amount of people that do use buses have a big impact and a benefit to reducing emissions. And the more faith that we can put into bus services, public transport like trains, reduces the amount of people that will use cars and therefore the amount of emissions, and also reduces congestion. So, you know, it's environmentally, well, it's pro-environment really, and reduces a lot of the bugbears that we've got, as well as reducing pollution.
So what would, when you've written to the MPs, what sort of resolution are you hoping for? Are you looking for a compromise? What are you looking for?
So we're looking for them to lobby the government really on behalf of their residents to reverse the rise in the cap, and to campaign on reducing it at least back to the £2 level and making that permanent. Because the constant changes in pricing of the cap affect bus companies and affect their ability to plan and forecast their own costs and incomes throughout the future. So really, we want a cap to be made permanent. Ideally, you know, it shouldn't be a charge, but if a cap was made permanent at £2, it helps bus companies plan, it helps people that depend on the buses to plan their own budgets. So we're lobbying our MPs to try and campaign to push this increase back down. But also to explore nationalisation of bus companies in general.
If you head over to the website today, you can see pictures of a van and delivery truck that got stuck in width restrictions near Sittingbourne. The Vauxhall van got caught in the pinch point in Church Road in Merston just before 11 the other morning. The truck was trapped on the other side of the road shortly after. While the truck was able to struggle free, the van was trapped there until just before 6 p.m. And an abandoned dog that was tied to a tree near Wye has been rescued shortly before giving birth to 9 puppies. The spaniel was found by a couple and taken to Lord Whiskey Animal Sanctuary near Canterbury. 8 of the pups survived and are being cared for along with the mum, who the staff have named Faith. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.